WCHL proudly presents our 2013 Chapel Hill Carborough Candidate Forums. With election season upon us, we're asking all the tough questions of the candidates for Chapel Hill Town Carborough Board of Aldermen and Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board. WCHL and chapelboro.com is your source for all the latest news about this year's municipal election. And now, WCHL presents our forum for candidates for Carborough Board of Aldermen. Here's your moderator, Aaron Keck.
Welcome, candidates, for Carborough Board of Aldermen. We've got five candidates this year for three seats on the board, and we've got a lot to talk about in the next 2 hours. So without any further ado, let's introduce the candidates and jump right in. Joining us tonight, Jacqueline Gist, Randy Haven O'Donnell, Sammy Slade, and Kurt Stolka. Everyone, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And our fifth candidate, Al Vickers, unfortunately not able to be with us today, but he's with us in spirit. Listeners out there, if you have questions for the candidates, please tweet them to us at WCHL. We're monitoring our Twitter feed throughout the forum, and we'll get to as many of those questions as we can. I'll begin with an opening question. Candidates, each of you will have 2 minutes to respond, and the order in which you answer will be determined randomly by the tried and true method of picking names from these little cards that I've got here, and we'll be doing that over the course of the show first. So this first question, Jacqueline Gist, you're up first, so get ready for this. The five of you have all served with town government already, either as elected officials or in some other capacity. You all seem to like each other and respect each other. You seem to be generally in agreement when it comes to most of the fundamental broad issues facing the town of Carborough, but voters still need to pick three of you to represent them. So let's say that I only had one vote in this election, ignoring the fact that we all actually have three. Let's say I only have one vote in this election. Why should I cast my vote for you and not the other four? We'll start with Jacqueline Gist.
Well, first I'd like to thank CHL for sponsoring tonight's forum. We can always depend on CHL to get the word out and get it out right, so thank you all. I think if people only had one choice, it would be a really hard choice. This is my seventh rodeo. This is my seventh election, and I got to say that the people running in this one are among the finest candidates I've seen, so I'm proud to be running with everybody. They're doing a great job. However, if I only had one vote, I would cast it for me and would encourage other people to do so as well. I've been in Carborough since 1976, and I've seen our town go from a sleepy town of 5,000 people to a very vibrant, exciting community of 20,000 people with great parks and with greenways and with a vibrant downtown that has festivals and is based on the arts, which is now being pulling in non-storefront businesses. I think I have been witness to and have participated in that evolution, and that allows me to see the broad picture, to be able to see, well, if we do this, then this other thing that maybe has nothing on the surface to do with it will be impacted. So I think I'm good at seeing the broad picture. I also really understand the town. I have longstanding relationships with people in the town. I think I'm a very strong advocate for neighborhoods and for small businesses. So I think my experiences and my understanding of the town and my connection with the entire community is a reason to cast one vote for me. And in reality, you have two others, and they're really good people to choose.
All right, next up, Sammy Slade.
I think Jackie framed it very well. Like, we are very fortunate in our town to, for one, have a great pool from which to have candidates. One of the reasons I feel we have such a great board is because the constituents in our town are amazing people. We stand out in North Carolina as a shining light, an example, and that's kind of one of the purposes that we have as the town of Carborough, to lead by example in what can be possible. But if it was one vote, of course, I would vote for me too, or I'd encourage other people to vote for me. One of the things that I'm really worried about in the town of Carborough is that we are a victim of our own success. It's gotten really expensive to live in our town. And that is something that I feel we have to take very seriously. And I would go as far as saying that if we're going to get serious about it, we have to really consider some serious money to make that happen. And I believe that we need to start considering perhaps even a bond referendum to raise the funds to put towards affordable housing, or like some of the candidates in Chapel Hill are already talking about a cent tax that could go towards that, so that we could put a significant dent to make Carver affordable and plug kind of the leak of so many people who are going to Durham and Hillsborough and Pittsburgh and everywhere else that seems to be more affordable. The other big concern that I have is climate change. And like I started off saying, we in Carver have a great opportunity to serve and model what can be done within our locality to mitigate climate change, because it is so significant and something that we have to take on at the local level, wherever everyone is. And so we're already engaged with those efforts. And I'm very grateful to my colleagues on the board for making it happen.
All right, next up, Kurt Stolka.
Hi, I want to thank everybody for having me here. This is a brand new experience. So pardon my fast speech. It may be from the nerves. As everyone said prior to myself, these are great candidates, and that's one of the reasons I'm proud to be a newer resident of Carrboro, is that there's so many people with like-minded views that are great to bounce ideas off of and gain new insights. Everybody's a good candidate, but there's a demographic that's missing representation in town, and I think that there's nobody to represent young families. And myself having a two-year-old and another one coming in January, I think I have a better insight into what young families have to deal with in terms of how their town works and the services they need to ensure their kids have safe routes to school and safe neighborhoods to play in. I think I'm the only one with planning and economic development experience. I just received a graduate certificate from UNCG in that field, and I have some really good ideas to try and see if they're even possible in the South and in Carrboro in particular. One of my main goals is to address the affordable housing and jobs crisis we currently face. There's no housing or local employment for young graduates. So pretty much the 22 to 30 some year old age range, there's nothing for them. All the houses are either 300,000 plus or rental housing. So I think we really need to address that and make them local, and walking and cycling more will really help address climate change and get people out of their cars.
And Randy Haven O'Donnell.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, WCHL and staff, for having us. We certainly do have a solid base of candidates with us tonight, and it's great to be able to get folks out for Carrboro who really are dedicated to her. What makes me different, what distinguishes me, and who I'd vote for? Well, I'd vote for myself. Why? Because I've been in the community for 35 years. I spent the first 19 with the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools. So I got to know the community through the children, through my colleagues and the staff of the schools. And I got to know the parents. And so now, you know, I have a very very much a vertical view of the community, because now I know the aging parents, I know the children, and now I know the children of the children. And that is a wonderful lens through which to learn a community. I very much want to continue the work that I've started, that I have in process, envision our policies and our town's investments, that they're properly aligned. I really see that, you know, we've worked hard to reignite the downtown, and I'm very responsive to and understand a wide range of needs in our community. I've expanded the community conversation on local living economy, sustainability, and resilience. I was with the Economic Sustainability Commission as a liaison, and I've been with the county with the Economic Development Commission at the county level. And I feel, if elected, that I can continue the work that I already have in process. Thank you.
All right, for our next four questions, I'll randomly select one candidate each. That candidate will have 2 minutes to respond, and then we'll throw open the floor for 5 minutes for all candidates to weigh in. Candidates, during that discussion period, please limit your comments to 30 seconds each and just raise your hand and I'll call on you in order, but you'll have multiple chances to weigh in if you want. And this first question is going to go to Sammy Slade. Carrboro prides itself on its locally driven economy. What is the most important thing the town can do in the next 2 years to support local businesses? And what is something the town is not currently doing that you think it ought to do in the next couple of years?
I served on the as chair of the Local Living Economy Task Force along with Randy before serving on the Board of Aldermen 4 years ago. And one of the most important things that we have to do is... and we've tried to implement, is encourage and raise awareness about the importance of supporting locally owned businesses over over other kinds of businesses, as there has been proven ways in which local businesses give back to the community many, many, many times over, both in the way in which money spent at a local business gets recirculated more in our local economy, and in the way in which local businesses give back to the community. Studies show that they give a lot more to nonprofits, for example. So awareness has to be driven on that front. A lot of people think of the taxes and the kind of the big box stores that are on the edges of our county and that draw a lot of people away from our town. And one of the mantras that's constantly brought up for Carrboro is like, well, you just can't buy socks anywhere but in those big box stores. So in line with supporting locally owned businesses, we also need to import substitute. In other words, identify things that aren't produced locally that we could encourage to have more of produced locally. And we have a huge opportunity with the recent passing through a bond referendum, the quarter cent sales tax that's going towards economic development. It's a significant amount of money that we need to, and I've been constantly asking the county to put towards supporting locally owned businesses and import substitution. There are huge opportunities with our local food economy. We just had a great bicycle event. There's huge opportunities with alternative transportation and supporting service industry. So that's my time. But we have alternative health in town. So all those sectors, to the extent that we can localize them, I think we could be a lot better off in Carrboro.
Follow-ups to that. Kurt.
I agree with Sammy. I think the food and cycling tourism are real opportunities for our town to add to the local business community. However, with import substitution, it like he was saying with socks, our local producers aren't going to have the economies of scale to make them affordable to everyday people. They're still going to have to go to Target if they're really watching their wallets. Like maybe people that enjoy having fancily made socks and paying $15 a pair will be interested, but I don't think it's possible.
Randy, having it on?
I want to agree with Sammy. We both worked on this very, very hard, and Carrboro has been tax neutral for the last 8 years, so we haven't needed to raise taxes. Why have we been as sustainable and resilient as we have, especially during an economic downturn of 2007-2008? Because we support locally owned businesses where only $27 out of 100 would leave and 73 would stay, which is a very different demographic than if you have non-locally owned businesses where $57 would leave out of every 143 would stay. Thank you.
Jacqueline Guest.
I think one thing that we need to do is to make sure that there are still reasons for people to come downtown and to visit our businesses. One of our goals, and one that's being successful at the moment, is to bring in non-storefronts. So that's bringing in things like Fleet Feet's corporate headquarters. I also think that we need to keep parking free as we continue to push for more alternative transportation, better bikes, better buses. But we also need to make sure that when people come downtown, they can afford to park and spend their money down there.
Sammy Slade, then Kurt Stolka.
Just very quickly on import substitution, an example is just responding to Kirk, the sock thing. The local food economy, less than 5% of the food that's consumed locally is grown locally, and at the same time, we spend $60 million annually for food in Carrboro. So localizing the production and distribution of food will not only reduce the number of food miles traveled, but will also recreate a sector of the economy that is currently not here. That's my time.
Sammy on the food completely. I think we really need to produce food more locally. My point was more to mass consumer goods, clothes and things like that. But I wanted one thing that Randy mentioned about money staying in the local economy. The amount we drive has a huge impact on how much money stays locally. 85% of every dollar we spend leaves the local economy. So I think really investing in a plan to start charging for parking to get people to reduce their amount of driving and more walking and cycling will really keep more dollars local.
Follow-ups to that. Randy, have an O'Donnell.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, piggybacking on what Jackie said, that some of the plans that are unfolding for Carrboro's downtown will take advantage of the broadband and the entrepreneurial and professional services and arts and innovation potential that we have. So we're really at the threshold right now of a very new look and feel to business downtown. And as Jackie says, it's less retail and more professional services.
We've got a little bit more time before we have to move on. Thoughts about the town's revolving loan fund? I know some of you have already advocated expanding it. Kurt Stolka loves it. Everyone on board with expanding it or preserving it? Jacqueline Gist?
Supported that. It actually, the revolving loan fund has been with the town longer than I have. I think it's a great program. You can't walk through Carrboro without just about every business being one of those. It is time to expand it and build on it, move into what I think of as Carrboro 2.0, to use the resources that we've put into developing our restaurants and arts to attract the professional services, the consulting firms, the marketing firms, and use our revolving loan fund to support them as well.
And Kurt Stolka and Randy Heaven O'Donnell will have the last word.
I think in addition to boosting the revolving loan fund, we also need to boost our connections and relationships with local institutions like UNC and neighboring towns to help provide a deeper network for our businesses to get support with like-minded businesses or like industries and enable them with the resources to expand in the future.
Randy Heaven O'Donnell.
One of the things that we've done in this past year is we've taken the revolving loan fund and we've expanded it to include microloans. There's also energy efficiency revolving loans. So we're kind of looking at the whole loan package and being able to give it more flexibility to address varied needs in our community, diverse needs.
All right. Next question is going to go to Kurt Stolka. You'll have 2 minutes to respond, and then again, 5 minutes of open discussion. Carrboro prides itself, in addition to its locally driven economy, on affirming a particular set of values: diversity, inclusiveness, social justice, sustainability, the local economy, and so on. Which of Carrboro's most fundamental values do you believe is most at risk right now, and what can the board do about that?
The first thing that comes to mind is our social equity in town. We have such a small number of people that come from lower to middle income areas, and we're driving them out of town by not providing more mixed income housing. And I think that to keep Carrboro a diversified, vibrant town, we need to ensure that they have the job opportunities and public spaces to be able to mix with other residents of town, regardless of how much income they make. So I think social equity is the number one issue that I think is in danger of being lost.
Follow-ups to that? Sort of follow-up question on that. You mentioned creating job opportunities. What tangible ways to do that?
Well, I think we need to utilize our economic development department more and have a study of what skill sets our employee or our residents have so that we can market in the future to any companies that may match that and be looking to locate to Carrboro and see that we have a great quality of life we can offer people. The only thing missing is the affordable housing, unfortunately.
Follow-ups? Well, Randy Haven O'Donnell.
Yeah, I think it's a double-edged sword that with growth there is the question of affordability and affordable housing and being able to stay in town and age in place. So I think that this is one of the things that I know when we had our retreat, it came up. We're really looking at a board at this issue and trying to maintain Carbo's ability to not only be affordable but meet the diverse interests and economic needs of the town.
Jacqueline Guest.
One of the reasons that we're losing our economic diversity has to do with the cost of housing. The cost of housing is attached to land. We live in a capitalist society. We have very little ability to say what housing will and will cost. But I've been thinking that a lot of the reason people are leaving some of our older, more established neighborhoods as they age out is that they're being offered a lot of money for their houses and their heirs can't turn it down. I would like to see us create a new revolving loan fund to use to build auxiliary housing. So, for instance, if a couple or a widow who's been in the house for a long time, they could build an auxiliary unit that they could then live in, rent out their other house, or rent out the auxiliary unit and create more housing that way. Sorry, I went over.
Sammy Sillade.
So I'm on the, affordable housing, Carbo Affordable Housing Task Force. We just had a meeting this morning, and our planning department's coming up with a map showing where the affordable housing is in Carbo. And what we have different from Chapel Hill is existing affordable housing, whereas Chapel Hill is trying to create new affordable housing. So one of our challenges is to maintain and not have that all converted to very much more expensive. And we're currently seeing one of the main owners of affordable housing in town, GSE, who are placing assessments on many house apartment complexes in town and raising the price out. It's significant because they own so much of the apartment complexes in town. So one thing that I feel we could do is be very intentional about homeowner associations are who levy these assessments. And if we had a strategy to make sure that no single absentee landlord can mandate through a homeowner association by making sure that they don't own more than 50% of the homeowner association, that might be a tactic where we could prevent that from happening.
And if you heard it on air, the audible sigh on GSE came from Jacqueline Guest, by the way. Randy Haven O'Donnell.
Well, last year the planning board had for planning month, they looked at affordable housing, and so they've made excellent recommendations. And one of the things that I'm very much interested in exploring for Carbo is innovative or non-traditional housing, such as SROs, granny flats that Jackie mentioned, and even the small house movement. I'm also concerned about Section 8 because we really don't have a good answer for that. But it's very possible that we can continue our partnerships between the town, nonprofits, and other affordable housing developers to address.
We've got a couple hands in the air. Sort of follow up also as this conversation continues, getting back to the original question, do we all agree with Kurt that that is, in fact, the value that is most at risk? But Kurt Stolka, you had your hand up.
Should I let people answer that?
No. You're next.
I think in terms of the affordable housing, since we do have a lot of aging affordable housing units, not to piggyback really on what Sammy said, but use that kind of financing to help maybe collaborate with GSC. Maybe there is somebody that may see our point of view and rehabilitating these units, maybe creating more mixed use and mixed income areas as a result of that. That's a possibility, but I think we should at least try and get some dialogue with GSC first, and then any new developments, make sure it's mandatory that they include mixed income housing, low, middle, and make sure there's a certain percentage attached to each new development.
And we'll let Jacqueline Guest have the last word.
Our hands are tied in so many ways. It's not for want of ideas. It's for want of legislative authority to do a lot of things. We have tried to work with GSC. Mark Chilton has been nonstop trying to work on that. But there are rules beyond Carbro that determine what we can and cannot do and what we can and cannot demand. And we trying to work within those rules. And I hope to be able to get to some ways of dealing with studentification in a little bit.
We'll get back to affordable housing later on. I've already got a whole bunch of notes for that discussion when we get to that sometime next hour. Next question we got to move on goes to Randy Haven O'Donnell. Again, 2 minutes to answer. To what extent should the town of Carbro seek to collaborate with Orange County to find a common solution for solid waste and recycling?
Well, the solid waste and recycling plan, as it was the comprehensive plan, was excellent. Dismantling it kind of threw us back into a tailspin. And so at this time, we really need to seek ways to restructure a comprehensive plan. The recycling is something that we need to form partnerships to solve. We cannot do recycling on our own. Solid waste as well. I'm really hoping that we can work with the town of Chapel Hill to find solutions that will address our issues in Southern Orange, and that the rest of Orange County will hop on board with us.
Follow-ups to that. Kurt Stolka.
I'm fully supportive of working at more of as a region than just focusing as a town to solve these issues, because trash and recycling is not something that you can solve just by being in a town in yourself. But I think collaborating with Orange County in the future, somebody is going to have to lose for us to find a new landfill site. So it just depends, like maybe there's certain things that we can put on the table to convince a more rural area to be open to it, or a new type of recycling, maybe incinerator, or many new methods that have come to the fore instead of just burying it in the ground.
Sammy Slate is next. A follow-up question to consider as the discussion goes on: how valuable is collaboration with Orange County? We want to collaborate with Orange County, and as Randy Haven O'Donnell said, we want Orange County to hop on board. But if they don't, is it worth collaborating with them anyway? Sammy Slade.
Well, I think it's been a great collaboration. Our recycling is a leading example, and we've set us a goal of 60% reduction, and we've achieved that through recycling. So it's past due time to ramp that goal up towards zero waste. And in the meantime, we can't be shipping our waste out of sight, out of mind, because that's just a recipe for not dealing with these issues. We've, in the 30, 40 years ago, placed the landfill in the backyard of African American community, and finally remediating got the landfill out. We're going to run sewer lines. My time's up, but I'll raise my hand again.
Okay. Follow-ups to that, Jacqueline Gist.
I think anytime we talk about collaboration, and certainly I favor collaboration. I was on the original log. It's absolutely necessary. But we need to remember that Orange County and Chapel Hill and Carrboro are not separate entities. Carrboro is in Orange County. Carrboro taxpayers pay Orange County taxes. It's the largest part of our tax bill. Carrboro voters vote for county commissioners. So we're really not completely separate entities. We do have some... We have a lot of skin in that game.
We'll go with Kurt Stolka first, and then Sammy Slade.
Jackie's totally right but I think that all the municipal governments, just by being governments in themselves and not being combined, like, for example, if there was one government of Chapel Hill and Carrboro combined, things would probably work more efficiently. But then we'd lose our identity as a town at the same time. And I think towns wanting to differentiate themselves from each other is really what's kind of putting blinders on, I'd like to say, and not thinking what's good for their neighbors way up north in northern Orange County, where some people may never even see.
Sammy Slade and then Randy Haven O'Donnell.
I think Jackie's point is a really valid one. We tend to dichotomize, and it's not necessarily the case. There are some functions that the county provides that the towns just don't do, and we benefit and make use, and we all pay taxes for those services too. One of the discussions that I've heard at the county level and other places, this waste-to-energy idea is a concern of mine when we haven't fully explored alternatives such as zero waste. I think we're going to be missing a huge opportunity there.
And as this conversation goes on, other alternatives to waste disposal in Carrboro, municipal composting has been brought up as an idea. Randy Haven O'Donnell.
Yeah, well, in addition to alternatives, one of the things that we need to be thinking about in partnering with Chapel Hill and the county is, how to create a short, mid, and long-term plan, because right now we're in a holding pattern. We're not, we have a you know, a short-term fix to a long-term problem, and we really have to address it. So I'm most appreciative of the town of Chapel Hill looking at the potential to do a waste transfer station, so at least we can start to deal with our own waste instead of shipping it out to Durham.
Kurt Stolka.
I like what Sammy's idea is about the zero waste solution and just stop consuming so many goods, but I think we need to maybe as a town create like a PSA to try and get people to see that way of thinking and not buy the newest gadget or buy the newest everything that comes in the market just because you want to have it. I think that's something that we as a community really need to look inwards on.
We got to move on, but Sammy Schlabel will have the last word.
Just a huge opportunity we have for towards zero waste is that the fact that a quarter of what we currently throw in the trash is compostable, a quarter of that waste. So we can seriously ramp up our initial goal of reducing our waste by 60% just by seeking ways in which to do more composting. And in Carborough, we have the added advantage of having the brown bins where people put their yard waste into it. That could very easily accept kitchen waste, organic stuff. And maybe the county might not be able to handle it, but we could ask and negotiate, hopefully, with them. But certainly Brooks Contracting might be contracted out, and they could do composting.
All right, next question goes to Jacqueline Gist. And as per tradition, I have to apologize to you because this is the budget question. Turning to budget matters, in the next few years, the board is probably going to have to make some difficult budget decisions, given that after several rounds of budget cuts, town officials often say there's no more low-hanging fruit. But what, in your opinion, is the lowest hanging fruit? Where is the first place you'd look to streamline if that becomes necessary?
Well, first of all, we have an incredible staff that has won us several years running national budget awards. So our staff is picking the low-hanging fruit. We have not had municipal tax raises in Carborough in several years, at least 4 or 5 years. And that's because our staff has worked really, really hard at doing it. So low-hanging fruit, I don't know. I would say what's not needed? Do you not want recreation and parks programs? Do you not want the festivals? The festivals are great for our downtown businesses. Do you not want us to treat our employees well? I refuse to not treat our employees well. I really can't answer like where the low-hanging fruit is because I feel like we've been picking low-hanging fruit for the past 5 years. It could be that maybe surface things, like maybe we don't need to upgrade town hall right now. Maybe we don't need to implement the park plan at MLK Park because that's being used as a community resource that a lot of people go to now anyway. So those kinds of things. But when it comes to personnel and to direct services for our citizens, I think we've got that down to a science. And I know it's always popular to talk about low-hanging fruit until you start walking around the orchard.
Same question out there for everyone else, and to everyone's got their hands up in the air. And to get a little bit more specific, when you're looking at the budget, what are the three lines on the budget that you would look to first when it comes to streamlining? And flip side, what are the three items on the budget that you'd be most concerned about protecting? Kurt Stolka was first.
I think the lowest hanging fruit we have is to start charging for parking. That's a subsidy that the town's been giving for years. And I think that we're a unique enough destination for people to not balk at coming to Carborough just because it cost 25 or 50 cents initially to park there. I think we deserve more respect than that. I mean, even Houston, Texas charges for parking. And I think they're a little bit more conservative-minded than Carborough is. So I think that's one of the biggest things that we can impact on initially as a town and start actually making money.
Randy Haven O'Donnell.
Well, I was going to say two things, so I may have to come back around. But, I kind of wonder, seriously, if we're going to be in the budget crunch you're suggesting. You know, we're going to have a hotel occupancy tax. We've got new commercial. I really think we are on an upwards trajectory, and I think as I said before, between 2007, 2008, when everybody else was dipping and our sustainability and resilience kept us buoyant, I really don't think that we're going to have to find any low-hanging fruit. But I do think that, looking at the energy efficiency and the vehicles is one way that we always address that.
Sammy Slade.
And thank you, Randy. And that's exactly what I was going to point out. You know, whether we need it or not, we have a huge opportunity to make a lot of savings. We're already looking at, and thanks in large part to Carrboro pushing the League of Municipalities engaging in the Duke Energy rate hikes, an LED streetlight rate where we'll be able to invest in the capital for those fixtures and within 5 years make our money back and thereafter save a lot of money that we'll thereafter be saving to put into more green capital infrastructure improvements that will further save us more money. So I think energy efficiency is a huge opportunity that both will save us money and help us mitigate climate change.
Insofar, Kurt Stolka is next. Insofar as obviously no one wants to cut anything, are there other ways to raise revenue? We've also already got a couple of possibilities here, charging for parking, the hotel tax. What other revenue raising means could there be? That wasn't the question that you were going to respond to. So Kurt Stolka, going back to the original point.
I was going to respond to Sammy. But I think energy efficiency is fantastic. I don't think it's a low-hanging fruit, though, because I think that's more of a long-term investment for the town. But I think free parking, there's many scholarly articles out there that prove it maintains more turnover for businesses. It makes more town money so they can improve on the downtowns that they want to beautify. And it'll get us more in a positive fiscal path in the future.
Jacqueline Gist and then Randy Haven.
Parking seems to be an issue this election. Carrboro is not Houston. Carrboro is probably as big as like one teeny tiny little neighborhood in Houston. The parking lots, when we bought the parking lot on the corner of Greensboro and Carr, our downtown merchants were so very, very, very happy. They were terrified of losing that space. It's used by Carrboro people. Not everybody in Carrboro can walk or ride their bike or take a bus. There are people who live almost as far away from downtown as we are sitting right here, and they deserve to have access to all that the town has to offer as well.
Randy Haven-O'Donnell.
Well, the best example I can give about why parking should be free in Carrboro, I love the Ciclovia and I love the open streets. And I happen to live close enough that I could bike in. But I saw lots of folks who were there who live beyond the 2 mile perimeter in Carrboro, and they drove in. Some of them drove in with bikes. And I do not want to bifurcate Carrboro by creating these concentric circle zones where folks don't feel they're part of downtown and part of our community because they live uncomfortably far to bike or walk. Carrboro is for us all, and we all need equal access.
We'll let Sammy Slade and Kurt Stolka have the last word.
So we are on the parking discussion now. We asked our town staff to look into the parking situation. My sense is that we really have to look at the numbers and see what we actually have in our downtown. There's a lot of perception, but I think there's an opportunity to really understand what the reality is of parking downtown. And to the degree, in the same way that we were talking earlier about solid waste, set goals for finding and measures that we can implement to start ratcheting down our dependency on cars in our downtown, because our ultimate goal is to get off of cars, and that may translate into identifying more high density nodes that people can walk to and bike to in the northern parts of our town.
And finally, Kurt Stolka.
I'd like to reference the parking study that UNC's DCRP program of city planning made, and they said that there's an oversupply of parking in town, and I think that's something that has been ignored. And I think that and data also shows that businesses expect people to arrive by car when that's not really the case. There are studies in Portland and New York City that exemplify that. And I think outside of 2 miles, I can think of many examples where there are cycle highways in Denmark and Copenhagen where people bike a lot farther than that to access the thriving cities. And we need to create that invitation for people to arrive by bike and not expect them not to.
So parking is another question that we'll get back to later. But before we move on to our next question, just so everyone's on the record, yes or no, are you or would you consider being in favor of charging for parking downtown? Kurt Sloka?
Yes.
Randy Heaven O'Donnell?
No.
Jackie Gist?
No way.
Sammy Slade?
Yes, to the degree that it won't affect our local businesses, but we need to be ratcheting it down so that we can and looking at studies such as the ones that Kirk has identified that show that it doesn't necessarily translate to be negative for.
But the
one
word answer was
The one word answer. That was more like a
paragraph.
Right,
we'll get back to parking in a few minutes, but we got to move on.
Can't drive.
We got to move on to our lightning round. I'll ask four questions. Each candidate will have 30 seconds each to respond. We'll go in varying orders. What is the most significant environmental issue currently facing the town, and what should the Board of Aldermen do in the next 2 years to address it? We'll start with Kurt Stolka.
A serious environmental issue is our driving. Carbro should not stand for cars, and that's the biggest impact on climate change and CO2 emissions is our driving, not where we live or the energy efficiency of our building. It's how much people use gas and pollute our environment.
We'll go clockwise around. So Sammy Slade.
Well, there is this tension between higher density mixed-use development in our downtown and having a bottleneck in our downtown. And I do think that that's something that we're going to have to face sooner than later to reconcile those two values that we have for our town. How to manage the amount of parking that higher density mixed-use calls for as our planning and zoning calls for. And the fact that we don't have the capacity to bring that many cars into our downtown.
Jacqueline Gist.
The biggest environmental threat in Carrboro right now, and indeed throughout North Carolina, is the North Carolina General Assembly. The General Assembly is gutting is gutting our ability to have environmental regulations that are stronger than the state or the feds. We're talking about our creek buffers. We're talking about the University Lake Protection. We're talking about stormwater flow. So what Carrboro is doing right now with the leadership of Damon, we are looking at all of our environmental regulations and making them as tight as possible before the 2014 session of the General Assembly, which is the greatest threat to the environment in North Carolina.
And that's Damon Salas you're referring
yes.
to, right? Randy Haven O'Donnell.
Excellent. Thank you, Jackie. I agree with you. The June 30th rain event crystallized for us that we really need to create the better infrastructure to deal with stormwater. And I think that that we have aging infrastructure, we need to, repipe, and we need to, make the stormwater issue one that is not going to create flooding and get folks out of their homes. And Jackie's exactly right. In addition, I would mention fracking, and I would mention water quality as two other issues we need to watch the legislature on.
Next question, we'll start with Randy Haven O'Donnell and go counterclockwise around. Two questions, actually. The town of Carrboro is changing in many ways. What is the trend you're seeing that has you most excited, and what is the trend you're seeing that has you most concerned?
Well, the most excited is the entrepreneurial and creative class, arts and design niche that we have that is ready to bloom. And working with the Arts Center and looking at what the new footprint for the Arts Center can engage, there is great potential to create a synergy between what will happen at the Arts Center, the potential new library that will be hopefully at the Butler, and the entrepreneurial training that can take place as well.
Time's up. What has you most concerned in one word?
Most concerned, the affordability.
Affordability. All right. Jacqueline Gist?
What has me most excited is that Carrboro has become a very exciting, vibrant, wonderful place to live. It's drawing all kinds of really neat people that want to hang out there. What has me most concerned is that Carrboro has become a wonderful, vibrant, exciting place to live, and therefore it's become very, very expensive. So the Soho effect, as they talk about in planning, I have 23 years experience in planning and economic development. That effect, I think, is really scary, is that the cooler we become, the less accessible we become. And that's something that I've been working on and will continue to work on. I want to make us uncool. Yeah.
Sammy Slade.
that is again, we are victims of our own success. And, you know, I've joked, like, you know, bring housing values down. Maybe we should burn out cars and tires on the corners. But then that might be cool because Carbro's doing it.
Yeah.
You know, so it is really tricky. It gets back to what Jackie had mentioned earlier, how the markets determine so much of the value of our homes. And if we are successful, you know, more people want to move here. So it's one of our, it's a bittersweet thing that we are accomplishing in Carbro.
And Kurt Stolka.
Well, the most exciting thing I see is one of the reasons I moved here is the bike and walkability and access that people have to the downtown. And I think that thanks to the Carbro Bicycle Coalition, we have a good advocacy organization to keep suggesting and pushing for improvements to our infrastructure to make biking accessible for someone who's 8 years old to 80 years old. And I think in terms of the long run, we need to think about our seniors to make sure they're able to bike and walk around instead of keep them in their cars. I'll have a follow-up to that.
Okay. And we'll go clockwise around with beginning with Jacqueline Gist. Next question. Recently, the board has begun to consider taking action to create an official cultural arts district downtown. We've already mentioned that once here. Is that something you're on board with? And if so, to what extent should the town devote funding to develop and promote it?
I'm the board liaison to the Arts Commission, and so I've been part of that initiative since it was first thought of and actually brought it to the board through the liaison position, working with Art from the Arts Center. I think it's an amazing economic development tool. I think we can tie it in with biking, and we can tie it in with getting more people downtown. I think the town should support it economically. I cannot remember the exact number that the town committed to when this came before us, but I certainly support that. Being an Arts District USA is an incredible economic and cultural tool for us to have, and
Randy,
educational.
Randy Haven O'Donnell.
Well, I see Carbro as a verve town, and I mean that in that there are several different kinds of arts represented in Carbro. The arts is not one thing. And so it's very exciting that design thinking and professional services are now taking on an arts feel. So not only are we undergirding our local artists, whether they be in music or dance or visual arts or digital arts, but arts in terms of design thinking.
Kurt Stolka.
I fully support an arts community in town, but I don't think we should put all our eggs in that basket because of that Soho effect. I don't think young, poor artists are going to be able to afford to live in Carbro. I think Brooklyn used to be affordable. That's where the artists did live, and now they moved out because it's too expensive now. And I think that's the inverse relationship that we might have missed.
Sammy Slade. Sorry, I thought you were done. keep going.
Okay. And I think because of that effect, in terms of the affordability of the area, I think our town leaders should, through that experience, be able to stem it and try and change something instead of let the status quo continue.
Sammy Slate.
So we recently heard from the Arts Center's plans on our downtown with a building that they're thinking of art in an expanded sense, more about design and the way in which it could even further and advance the history that Carbro is known for as a service town. And there are huge opportunities for thinking art, design, and perhaps even small-scale light manufacturing as a continuation of what we have going on in Carbro and part of its history. So I'm very excited about the Downtown Arts District as a complement to further establishing our local living economy and import substitution.
And then last question in the lightning round, we'll start with Sammy Slade and go counterclockwise around. Complete this sentence. The other candidates are not going to agree with me on this, but I really think in the next 2 years, the town of Carbro ought to blank. Sally Green said the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard to find too many things that we disagree on, and we vote a lot in similar ways, very different than what the rest of the state does. But I think that we really need to take affordable housing seriously. We need to find money to put to make it happen, whether it be through a sales tax, a referendum on that, or a bond referendum. A bond referendum, it could be a revolving loan fund where as that money is paid off in the mortgage, it can be reinvested into more affordable housing in town.
Kurt Stolka.
Let's see. I can think of a few things that some may not agree with me on. Yeah, one being the parking, which I already talked about. I think we need to implement a slow zone throughout downtown to make it more amenable for people to walk and bike without feeling anxious about a car breathing down your neck. The latest data I saw in our transportation advisory meetings was maybe 10 to 15 or 20 miles per hour over the speed limit. People are zooming through town, and that's inviting people to drive fast, and that's keeping people from lingering in our downtown. And in relation to that, I think we should pedestrianize East Weaver Street immediately.
And Randy Haven O'Donnell?
Well, probably the, as Sammy said, there's little areas that we might have divergent thinking, but I'm thinking on if I was going to do something completely different and unique and spend more time on it, it would probably be in the area of focusing on further integration of the emergent communities, the Karen community, the folks who are in the Hispanic Latino community. I know we're hoping very much that we get a worker center in downtown Carrboro, and should we do that, I would like to see deep programming that really undergirds the integration into the community rather than just providing services.
And finally, Jacqueline Gist.
I'm not sure that people would, that everybody would.
I totally agree with you, Aaron.
I'm not sure everybody would completely disagree, but we need to formalize the creation of our neighborhood protection for the historic neighborhoods. We need to get final recognition of that. We started that 15 years ago. Some members of previous boards voted that down. As our downtown continues to grow, the protection of the historic neighborhoods, indeed of all of our neighborhoods, becomes more and more important because otherwise we lose our identity.
I also want to be on the record as agreeing. We need to create formalized historic districts.
Yeah. And our old business infrastructure is also, in theory, not protected. It could be razed and replaced by anything.
Part of it on Main Street is, but not all of it is. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, guys, we got to move on. We're turning to the topic of development now and its impact on Carrboro. A lot of related questions here. We've touched on some of them already. For these questions, I'll randomly select one candidate each. That candidate will have 1 minute to respond. Then we'll open the floor for 3 minutes for all candidates to weigh in. Again, candidates during that discussion period, limit your individual comments to 30 seconds each, but you'll have multiple chances to weigh in if you want. This first one goes to Kurt Stolka. Talking development. Given its size and its population, Carrboro is already the densest town in North Carolina, might grow even denser in coming years with several new developments possibly in the works. This creates a number of possible issues. We've touched on several of them already: parking, downtown traffic, bikeability, walkability, public safety. For starters, to what extent in general should we be concerned about the side effects of new development in Carrboro, and how active a role should the board be playing in terms of oversight?
The first thing that comes to mind is for the new development that happens, it should already be within our current boundaries of development. We shouldn't push further out of town into the rural buffer zone like some of our northern areas have been in the recent past. And I think the mixed-use development downtown won't create the traffic problems everybody thinks. We don't need to put a huge parking lot next to a mixed-use development because people will be able to access things by walk and bike and public transit. So I think that should be the biggest concern for our town leaders in the future is creating that mixed-use environment.
Follow-ups to that? Randy Haven O'Donnell.
I think one of the things that we need to be able to do in terms of oversight is think about what the things that we've done that have been so successful. We absolutely micromanaged the new hotel, and it is very Carrboro. People look at that hotel and they go, oh my God, that's a Hampton Inn? It's so Carrboro. It really fits in. So I feel very good that we, you know, that the way we go about looking at development works. I think we just need to systematize it so we really understand how did we do that instead of recreating it each time.
Jacqueline Gist.
was going to say, development's going to happen. It has happened. I think Carrboro does a pretty good job of managing development. That's one of the reasons why people want to move here. And we do a pretty good job of managing, making sure that the infrastructure's here that attract people like your family who want to come here because the people have already made it walkable and bikeable, and certainly we can go beyond that. My major concern goes beyond infrastructure and has to do with our sense of community. We need to make sure that people know where they're moving to and people feel that they're part of a community. And we do that through our festivals that I've been instrumental in things like Carrboro Day. So it's not just moving to a house, it's moving to a community. We've got to maintain that, and that is the board's responsibility.
Kurt Stolka, in agreement with that. Sammy Slade was first, and then Kurt.
Well, one of our challenges is not being dictated by what the banks think they can fund as development in our downtown. And unfortunately, because of the way that they have a bank shed that is triangle wide, we've already seen some developments that they've said they can't fund, which is more commercial development, so they prefer to do more residential. So to the extent that we want to diversify our tax base with more commercial, we need to stand our ground and find creative ways to do it, such as with the Shelton Station, where they didn't want to finance the back building. They only want to do residential. And the way we got them to do it, a commercial component, was to design the lower floor so it could be retrofitted towards more commercial. And that was my idea. And I think we should think of more creative design ways of getting around these constraints by the banks.
Kurt Stolka.
I think another thing that we really need to work on immediately is getting a comprehensive land use plan established with a map attached instead of our current kind of generalized policy document of Vision 2020. This will establish certain uses and the type of construction that we want, the type of human scale that the buildings have to our street. That Carrboro wants and will protect itself. And I think as we develop, we need to really keep in mind our public space and plazas to keep that sense of community and keep people interacting as we grow.
We've got to move on quickly, but Randy Heaven-O'Donnell gets the last word.
I just want to add that making sure that we look at transitional zones between residential downtown and commercial, and that's something that a comprehensive plan can definitely move us towards.
We're going to keep this conversation going on development. We've got to take a quick break now. Again, if you've got questions, and we're getting some of them already, tweet them to us at WCHL. This is the 2013 Carrboro Board of Aldermen Candidates Forum with Jacqueline Gist, Sammy Slade, Kurt Stolka, and Randy Heaven-O'Donnell. I'm Aaron Keck. We'll be continuing our discussion on development and related issues, and we'll get back to the parking question when we come back after this.